Hello, listeners, and welcome to Northland Views. This is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Mary Margaret Nishli Ya'ate. Today I'll be reading articles from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Headlines relate to many kinds of news, contestants for Miss Indian World, comments from Arizona senators about possible cuts, closing a successful career for a gymnast who is part Diné, beginning a new career for a motivational speaker, also Diné, a new career, a new chief of staff for the Navajo chief of staff, and other interesting developments. Let's start with this article from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. Published online April 6th. This is by Nicholas House for the Navajo Times, Dateline, Grants, New Mexico. 21 young women representing Native nations across North America will compete for the title of 2025-26 Miss Indian World at the 42nd Annual Gathering of Nations Powwow, held April 24th through 26th at Tingley Coliseum and Expo, New Mexico. Contestants hail from tribal communities spanning Alaska to Florida and from Quebec to the Southwest, bringing a diversity of languages, traditions, and teachings to the anticipated cultural pageant. This year, two of the 21 contestants are Diné from Arizona, Nijoni Edgewater, and Niagara AC Rockbridge, the 2021-22 Miss Navajo Nation title holder from Pinyon. Rockbridge also ran for Miss Indian World in 2023. Miss Indian World is considered one of the most prestigious titles in Indian country. The role emphasizes cultural ambassadorship rather than physical beauty, requiring contestants to demonstrate proficiency in their native language, cultural knowledge, public speaking, and traditional talent. The pageant, which begins with the grand entry on April 24th, includes a personal interview, talent presentations, and the traditional dance competition. The newly crowned Miss Indian World will serve as a goodwill ambassador for Native people for the next year, traveling across the United States, Canada, and beyond to represent Indigenous communities. Representing a wide range of tribal affiliations, this year's contestants are from the Ute Tribe of Utah, Algonquin Anishinaabeg from Quebec, Dania Huawasuk Prairie Band of Potawatomi from Kansas, Mississippi Band of Choctaw, Mississippi, Shoshone Bannock, White Mountain Apache from Idaho, Seminole Tribe of Florida, Ojibwe Odawa Potawatomi, Ontario, Alabama Coushatta, Texas, White Mountain Apache, Arizona, Seminole Tribe of Florida, Mohawk from New York, Pauma Band of Mission Luiseno, California, Eastern Band of Cherokee, North Carolina, White Mountain Apache, Yupik, Alaska, Seminole Tribe of Florida, Miccosukee, Florida, Warm Springs, Wasco, Paiute, Oregon, Anishinaabe, Quebec, Canada, Mohawk, but from Ontario, Canada, Jicarilla Apache Nation. New Mexico is represented by Kelsey Quintana of the Jicarilla Apache. The field as a whole showcases the strengths and the diversity of Native womanhood, with participants from smaller tribal and larger tribal communities. The reigning Miss Indian World, Cassie John from Rock Point, Arizona, will crown her successor on Saturday, April 26th, during the powwow's final ceremonies. The Miss Indian World competition remains a centerpiece of the Gathering of Nations, now recognized as the largest powwow in North America. Another article from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, April 8th. Headline, Arizona Senators Mark Kelly and Ruben Gallego hold town hall over potential Medicaid cuts. This is by Marshall Baker for the Navajo Times, was first published online on April 3rd. Democratic Arizona Senators Mark Kelly and Ruben Gallego hosted a town hall in Phoenix on March 17th to discuss the potential impacts of cuts to Medicaid led by congressional Republicans. Kelly and Gallego came together at NOAH Cholla Health Center in Scottsdale, a center dedicated to serving low-income communities. Sitting on the stage with Gallego in front of a disgruntled crowd, Kelly laid out the potential Republican-led plans to slash Medicaid to cover tax cuts, similar to the tax cuts during Trump's first term in 2017. In Arizona, there are roughly 750,000 individuals currently on Medicaid. They want to cut about $880 million from Medicaid, Medicare, or both, said Kelly. This hasn't happened yet, and it's possible we could prevent it from happening. This discussion comes amid the wave of cuts to federal funding led by the Trump administration to reduce government spending. Although no motion has been made, the groundwork for extending the 2017 tax cuts has already been set in place by congressional Republicans with the recent passing of a budget resolution. Much of the cuts had to do with the Elon Musk-led DOGE, or Department of Government Efficiency, which has already made efforts to reduce services in crucial areas for Native Americans, like the Indian Health Service and the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Make no mistake, they're coming after you, your families, after veterans, said Senator Kelly. Stay tuned on that important matter. Happy to have you with us. You're listening to Northland Views from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand. From our website, choose Broadcast Info and Audio, and then On Demand. Now, articles from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, April 2nd. Starting with this headline article, Perfect 10, Sienna Alipio Takes Gymnastics to the Top. This is by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. As University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA gymnast Sienna Nijone Alipio dismounted off the balance beam and stuck the landing at the Big Ten Championship in Michigan on March 22nd, she had a huge smile on her face. She jumped up and down on the mat as the crowd screamed in delight, bear-hugged her coaches, and double-high-fived her teammates in a sea of sparkly indigo-blue leotards. The tears came later, when she received a perfect score of 10 from the judges. My first career perfect 10 feels like a dream, she said. Two of Alipio's other teammates also scored 10s in the competition in floor, leading the UCLA team to victory, and also getting the highest score a team has received in Big Ten history. Their head coach, Janelle McDonald, said achieving a perfect 10 in National Collegiate Athletic Association, NCAA gymnastics, is extremely difficult and rare. In NCAA competition, perfect execution of your elements and routines is what we work for each and every day, McDonald said. To have that special moment where you put it all together when it counts most is extremely difficult because it takes extreme focus and calm energy when the environment is anything but that. Years and years of hard work go into preparing your mind and body to achieve it. Watching Sienna earn that moment has been an incredible highlight of the season for us. In February, Alipio received a score of 9,009.950 on her bar routine at a meet in Seattle, and said she was excited that her mother and older brother got to witness it. "It was pretty surreal," she said. "I've had these skills that I'm competing in for years at this point, so now it's really focusing on the tiny details, minute, small things that to a judge's eye, judges can catch them really quickly." McDonald said it has been a wonderful journey watching Sienna grow over the past 3 seasons. As a freshman, her work ethic and kindness stood out. Now she sees that these characteristics are what make her an incredible leader on our team, McDonald said. She has learned to be proud of her strengths and help message and instill work ethic and togetherness into our team every day. Hearing her now lead and inspire our team in conversations has helped us all strengthen our team and culture and togetherness on and off the competition floor. The recently turned 21-year-old is Dine and Filipino. Her mother is Ashi'i of Salt Clan. "Growing up, I didn't really know of any native gymnasts that I could look up to," she said. "I think now, as I'm getting older, my culture is something that I'm continually learning and becoming more acquainted with." Alipio is from San Jose, California, but her family has family in Farmington, New Mexico, that she sees every few years. She said one of her most memorable trips to the Navajo Nation was spending time with her cousins and older brother at the Navajo Nation Zoo. When she isn't doing flips and twists, Alipio's favorite pastime is reading anything from murder mysteries to romance, watching movies like Twilight and shows like Gossip Girl, and spending time at the beach. "It's somewhere I can really just clear my head and think, and just relax and kind of step away from a fast-paced day-to-day schedule that I have," Alipio said. That fast-paced schedule includes hours of gymnastics practice, not to mention her classes at UCLA, where she studies sociology. After she graduates, the junior hopes to study psychology in grad school. That will also be the end of her competitive gymnastics career. "I kind of knew college gymnastics was going to be my last stepping stone," she said, adding that she will still look for open gyms for fun. "I don't know how much I'll be able to kind of go cold turkey and stop after I graduate, just because it has been something I've been doing since I was 3. It's just such a large part of my life." As a tot, Alipio was originally enrolled in dance class. "Ballet wasn't enough to get my energy out, and I started trying to flip around my house, and both my mom and dad were like, 'This is not safe. You're going to hurt yourself.' So they transitioned me into rec classes." Alipio found a passion in her tumble bugs classes and continued gymnastics as she got older, transitioning into elite gymnastics and sticking with it through her senior year of high school. She was a part of the Junior Olympic program, competed in the U.S. National Gymnastics Championships, and went to international meets in Italy and Switzerland. When COVID-19 hit, Alipio even moved to Minnesota where the restrictions weren't as great, so she could continue practicing at a gym during lockdowns in California. Her parents took turns living with her for those 2 years. Alipio said it was an incredible experience where she met her best friend. Her favorite event to do when she was younger was floor, where she was able to bring in aspects of dance that she was learning outside the gym. "I loved performing," she said. Around age 12, she realized she also felt comfortable on the beam, which she said is unusual around her peers. "For me, beam was something I could kind of turn my brain off and just do," she said. Alipio is excited to try her hand at new types of exercises after she graduates and has already taken some bar and Pilates classes. But Alipio's coaches and teammates won't soon forget the impact she has had on them. She sets the bar on how to be a diligent and committed person to doing the little things that help you and your team be great, Coach McDonald said. In addition to her work ethic, Sienna is kind, compassionate, and supportive as a teammate. She's able to connect with people in a special way that helps others feel seen and valued. We wish her success in whatever comes now. Also from page one of the Navajo Hopi Observer, headline, Tenaya Winder follows her heart with her first solo album. This is by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. It's been a long time coming, but Tenaya Winder is finally releasing her first album, Call Back Your Heart. It's about calling your spirit back home to yourself, whether you've been impacted by loss, grief, or heartache, Winder said. It's an album about celebrating life and leaning into your path. Part Diné on her father's side, as well as Southern Ute, Pyramid Lake Paiute, Duckwater Shoshone, and African American, Wilder grew up on the Southern Ute Reservation in Ignacio, Colorado, and currently lives in Albuquerque. She travels all over the country and Canada, hosting healing writing workshops and giving speeches. The versatile artist used her backgrounds in poetry and motivational speaking to write songs that are poignant and uplifting for her new album. Before the pandemic, Winder was gifted a guitar from her friends and started teaching herself and taking lessons. She was in her early 30s, but didn't let that stop her from trying something new. It's never too late to pivot and follow your heart and where your spirit is calling you, Winder said. It was that gift and that motivation and other people believing in me. That gift of music really inspired me and gave me that push to believe in myself. Diné musician Christopher Mike Bita, a.k.a. DFI, helped Winder with vocalist opportunities. He would send her songs and Winder would add the hook, which she said started building her confidence. I loved working with him. He's so inclusive and supportive, she said. Then Winder met music producer Kyle Shepherd. She would send recordings and he would add beats for the background, turning into what would be songs eventually for the album. We started working bit by bit, then the pandemic happened. He moved, I moved, she said. It was August 2024 before the two were able to meet up again and record final vocals. Also during the pandemic, Winder's grandmother passed away. The song in her album, Rest Easy, is about her. It was one of those songs that I just wrote in an hour, Winder said. Sometimes they just come to you like that. I think when you're just that empty vessel, sometimes the creator spirit, the universe, just moves through you. And so I got to play that song at my grandma's funeral. Shepherd helped Winder turn the song into what it is now. It's just so moving, and my hope is that for other people that experience loss, that that song can help them move through that too, Winder said. Next up, Winder reunited with an old friend to create her first music video. Winder originally met Oglala Lakota and Diné film director and writer Rizelle Benali at a First Peoples Fund Fellows program in Minnesota around 2015, where they learned how to start their own businesses and LLCs. I asked her if she would come to Albuquerque to film a music video for my new album, and she agreed, Winder said. And I sent her all 8 songs, and she just happened to pick one of my favorites, this song called Maybe. It has that rockabilly, almost doo-wop vibe to it. Winder had written the song for loved ones in her life who struggled with depression, including one friend who lost his life. Rizelle really liked this part in the song where it says, I wish words could sing you into breathing again, that I could fast-forward time to show you how you win. And so she gravitated toward that song, and it just came together quickly and beautifully. Besides Wilder singing and playing the guitar, the music video features Native actors JoJo Jackson and Sunshine Eaton. Actor Avery Hale also has a small role, while Diné actress and dancer Natalie Benali is also featured and choreographed a dance performed by Jackson and Eaton in the video. All were in the Netflix film Res Ball together. They learned that dance so quickly, and it was just so fun. It was cool them to see them lean into it. As far as which oak art to focus on in the future, Winder said she goes where her heart calls her. She hopes that she will continue to be able to create more music with the release of the album and the music video. "I love doing all the things, whether it's reading, speaking, or writing music, and I'm just open to whatever direction it goes," she said. "Sometimes I'll just start writing, and I often don't know in the beginning if this is a song or a poem, and then it kind of just reveals itself as you go through it. It decides whether it wants to dance across the page or move across the strings." Listen and purchase Call Back Your Heart at tanayawinder.bandcamp.com/album/callbackyourheart. Find out more about Tanaya Winder at the website tanayawinder.com. We wish her good luck as well. Now, a new beginning of a different sort from the Navajo Hopi Observer community page. Headline: A Hastin Tapped as Nygren's New Chief of Staff. This is also by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Dateline: Window Rock, Arizona. Navajo Nation President Boo Nygren announced March 19th that his Chief of Staff, Patrick Sandoval, is stepping down and has been replaced by Justin C. Ahustin. "Sandoval is stepping down due to medical reasons," Nygren said. "Patrick has been a dedicated public servant, not only in my administration, but also in his past role as Chief of Staff under former President Joe Shirley Jr.," Nygren said. "His leadership, wisdom, and unwavering commitment to the Navajo people have left a lasting impact on our nation." Ahustin was most recently the executive director of the Navajo Nation Washington office. Ahustin is from White Cone, Arizona, and a graduate of Holbrook High School. He is Biligana Anglo, born for Totsoni, Big Water. His maternal grandfather is Biligana, and his paternal grandfather is Kislani Hopi. Ahustin brings a wealth of experience and a deep commitment to serving our people, Nygren said. His background in government relations, policy, and military service will bring strong leadership and strategic insight to our administration. Ahustin is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran who served at Headquarters Marine Corps Office of Legislative Affairs as both a Congressional Affairs Specialist and Administrative Non-Commissioned Officer. He holds a bachelor's degree in public administration from Northern Arizona University and is soon set to receive his Master of Legal Studies in Indigenous Law from the University of Oklahoma College of Law. We wish him good luck with his new appointment, and good luck to all concerned. Another headline from Wednesday, April 2nd, Navajo Hopi Observer. "Together We Rise, Native Attorneys Take Federal Oath with Humetiwa." This is by Danielle Williams of Arizona State University. "Community lies at the heart of Indian legal program at Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law at Arizona State University. For its alumni, success isn't about just one person. It's about strengthening a movement. These dedicated advocates work to defend tribal sovereignty, amplify Native voices, and ensure Indigenous representation in the legal system." Jordan Hale received his J.D. in 2009, and Autumn Shoney, J.D. 2023, that is, received a significant milestone in their legal careers as they took their oath of admission at the Sandra Day O'Connor U.S. Courthouse. "This distinguished moment, allowing them to represent clients in the District Court of Arizona, was made possible through the sponsorship of April Olson, who received her J.D. in 2006, and officiated over by the Honorable Diane J. Humetiwa, who received her J.D. in 1993. Humetiwa, an enrolled member of the Hopi tribe, is a trailblazer in the legal community, holding the historic distinction of being the first Native American woman to ever serve as a federal judge in the U.S. District Court for the District of Arizona. Representation matters, Olson said. It was only 100 years ago in the Globe Equity Decree litigation that natives weren't even allowed to represent themselves in federal litigation. It is so important for plaintiffs, victims, defendants, attorneys, judges, and people on juries to see people from their communities practicing and present in federal court, especially when tribal interests are at stake. It was almost too much. It felt hard to understand why such accomplished people would spend so much time on something I'm involved in, Hale said. Their kind words and generosity with their time impressed on me the importance of sharing any knowledge or experience I have with Native students or attorneys whenever I have a chance. The whole ceremony felt rooted in community and identity. Their achievement reinforces that Indigenous legal advocates are breaking barriers every day. They are an asset to the legal profession, and I am confident they will continue defending tribal sovereignty in all jurisdictions, said April Olson, who had her JD in 2006. Like me, Jordan and April are both also Indian Law Program alums. That program gave me the tools to be a good attorney and set me on my career path. I am forever grateful for the program, so it was extra special for me to sponsor two alums myself. The ceremony served as a testament to the profound influence of mentorship, highlighting the invaluable guidance, encouragement, and wisdom that experienced professionals impart to the next generation of Native legal advocates. Mentorship not only shapes better attorneys and stronger advocates for tribal clients, but also enhances the quality of legal services provided to tribes in Indian country. By instilling confidence in new or inexperienced attorneys, mentorship fosters resilience and inspires them to continue advancing in their profession. We wish them much success as well. Oh, already out of time. I'd like to remind you that this has been Northland Views. I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Mary McGrory Nishley. Thank you so much for listening. And for this week, Hagone.